Welcome to another episode of Perspectives, the Behavioral Health Business Podcast. I'm Bob Holly, and I'll be your host for this conversation. For this episode, I sat down with Dr. Guy Metal, who serves as Chief of Integrated Care and Psychiatric Services for Forge Health. During the conversation, we spoke about the concept of psychosocial oncology and how Forge Health is expanding its offerings to help people and families going through cancer. We talked about how psychosocial oncology differs from general mental health care, common barriers to accessing this type of care, and so much more. Let's get to it.
All right, this is Bob Holly with Behavioral Health Business, excited to host another conversation in the Perspectives podcast. For this one, I'm joined by Dr. Guy Metal, Chief of Integrated Care and Psychiatric Services for Forge Health. Dr. Metal, thank you so much for carving out some time for us today.
Thank you so much, Bob. It's a pleasure. Pleasure to be here.
You know, I'm going to joke to our listeners really quick. I was just giving Dr. Metal some advice before we hopped on, and I said to avoid time references like today, tomorrow, and I right off the bat broke my own rule. I thought a good place to start might just be tell us a little bit about yourself and your company, Forge Health.
Sure. I'll do it in the reverse. So Forge Health is a behavioral health company, behavioral health delivery company that provides affordable, accessible, and highly effective treatment for people dealing with the full spectrum of behavioral health conditions, as well as substance use disorders in person and online. And it's really a mission-driven organization located in the Northeast of the United States. In addition, we also have some subspecialty programs specifically for veterans and first responders, as well as we have programs to care for people and families dealing with cancer, and also have the cultural competency and programming to work with people from the LGBTQ plus community. So we offer quite a bit, but the most important thing to know is that our North Star is providing the highest quality of care in a way that's affordable. As for myself, I'm a psychiatrist. I've been a psychiatrist for over 20 years. I spent most of that time, till about a year ago, in academic medicine. I have a career that spans the boundary between interface of general medicine and behavioral health, working with people who have severe medical illnesses, especially cancer and terminal disease. And I ran outpatient services at Mass General Hospital in psychiatry in Boston and taught at Harvard Medical School, and more recently was at Cornell, Weill Cornell Medical Center, where I ran outpatient services for the Collaborative Care Center and did cancer work. And I've been at Forge for about a year.
For the Behavioral Health Business Perspectives podcast, yeah, I think most conversations really fall into two buckets. It's either we're talking about a very timely news development, or we're trying to connect with providers and organizations that are doing something innovative or really cool, yeah, or interesting. And I think, yeah, this certainly falls in that latter bucket. And today, I really wanted to dig into psychosocial oncology and what that, great, means and what Forge Health is doing in that space. So maybe to start, could you just define that terminology for me, please?
Yeah, of course. Psychosocial oncology is that aspect of cancer care that focuses on the psychological, behavioral, emotional, social issues that arise for people going through cancer and their loved ones. So it's all of that world as people are dealing with a serious illness. It's typically delivered by behavioral health clinicians of a variety of disciplines, but that's what it is.
And I would imagine that it's becoming a more timely and more important subject matter, just considering some of the statistics associated with various cancers these days.
Yeah, absolutely. The nature of cancer is that it's distressing whether you have something that's treatable or not treatable, curable or chronic. It's the sort of set of illnesses that really drives up a lot of distress for almost everyone who goes through it. And there are unique elements of it that need to be addressed through particular behavioral health lens.
Yeah. And how does what we're talking about now, psychosocial oncology, how does that differ from maybe more generalistic mental health care?
It's a great question. So it differs in a couple of ways. There are unique stressors and unique distresses that people experience as they go through cancer for a variety of reasons, which we can get into. But there is a particular knowledge and skill set that is required to address those issues that people deal with, whether they're psychological, whether they're social, whether they're in the realm of communication with other people in your life or with your medical team. So addressing all of those in a unique way is one of the ways that psychosocial oncology distinguishes itself. Another is having an intimate understanding of the experience of the trajectory of people dealing with cancer. It is almost a world unto itself when someone is diagnosed with cancer. And that word cancer is kind of, it really speaks to a category of illnesses, but by and large, it's a world unto itself. And what is it like for a human being who, in the midst of all that happens in life, has to stop and deal with something that they don't want, is terrifying, is highly impactful on their way of life, on their finances, on their social situations. So understanding all of that is another differentiator. And thirdly, and to be pretty direct about it, it could be very provoking. It can be very triggering for people who are on the therapy side, like the therapists or the other behavioral health clinicians, to work with people who are dealing with cancer. So having a handle on your own experience and your own reactions is another skill set that people in this field deal with.
Yeah, not to sidetrack us too much, but here at WTWH Healthcare, which is Behavioral Health Business's parent company, I work with Home Healthcare News, I've worked with Hospice News, Palliative Care News, yeah. And you certainly have some of those same considerations when you're talking about somebody who is a home health nurse maybe going mm-hmm. to hospice or palliative care for the first time.
It Absolutely.
You know, the role of a nurse might be the same, but it's a very yep. different setting. You're working with very different patients and individuals. So I definitely understand what you're getting at there. For our listeners, maybe could you explain what some of the specific services or treatments look like and how might those, you know, change over the course of one's cancer treatment?
Yeah. So on the one hand, there is what you would expect. So the treatments don't change as much as their content. For example, if someone is dealing with uncertainty and the anxiety that comes with, I don't know what's the diagnosis yet, you might talk to a psychosocial oncology trained therapist who can appreciate what you're experiencing and help you cope with it. And later on down the line, when you're dealing with distress around your family life being disrupted because of radiation therapy, you might be talking with the same therapist, but the content is different. So one of the services is psychotherapy, either individual or in a group setting. Another set of services is the psychiatric care at the interface of the illness itself, meaning the cancer illness itself, the treatments, which sometimes, so the illnesses, which can have an impact on one's central nervous system, one's psychological and emotional experience. The treatments can impact it. There's, for example, certain treatments that directly cause episodes of depression, pre-existing psychiatric conditions, and understanding how all the drugs interact are all knowledge sets and skills that on the psychiatric side of psychosocial oncology we're aware of and need to be thinking about all the time. So those are the writ large, the big aspects of psychosocial oncology. The others are things like if you're in a hospital setting, it's the social worker may be doing crisis management or even there may be a care management issue to it, thinking about how do I get to and from my treatment, things of that sort. And on the other end, there are conversations, sometimes not exclusively by any means, but sometimes it's the behavioral health clinician who is inviting, I would say, the patient and their family to shift their focus from we have to do everything to treat and cure the cancer to how do we transition to this next phase, either chronic illness or death and dying, in a way that sometimes the oncology team is more reluctant to do. So it's all of those spanning the course of the illness.
You're obviously the chief of integrated care and psychiatric services at Forge Health, your organization. You know, just based on your title, I understand it's your job to think about connected care and whole person care.
Yeah.
How did this topic specifically, psychosocial oncology, become such a big focus for you?
It's been, for me personally, it's been a focus since my earliest days of being a psychiatrist, simply because I was always interested in the big questions of what it is to be human. How do we make sense of our existence? And one could argue that the reason we even have to make sense of it is because it's finite. And none of us really knows when it's going to end. At the same time, I was always interested in how does medical illness and medical treatment impact a person's experience of their life, their thinking, their feeling. Psychosocial oncology brings all of it together and, in fact, expands it into the social domain, like thinking about how social determinants of health impact people's experience of cancer. So for me, this is a particular field where you really do have to think about the whole person if you're going to be providing good care. And the one other aspect of the field that actually really draws me is the multidisciplinary nature of it. So for example, you know, when I go to the annual Psychosocial Oncology Society conference, as a psychiatrist, I'm in the minority in terms of professional disciplines. So I work with social workers, with psychologists, with chaplains, with other therapists of different types. And it really is this wonderful multidisciplinary approach, which again, allows us to learn from each other's perspective as we care for the whole person.
I think with my next question here, I was originally going to kind of, at the 30,000 foot level, ask about common psychosocial challenges that people going through, you know, cancer might be experiencing, how Forge can support those individuals. But I'm wondering, you know, rather than that 30,000 foot level, to kind of illustrate that question, could you maybe walk me through a case study or just a real world example, obviously not using names or anything like that, of, you know, what this looks like in practice?
Sure. So I'll give you two examples. These are illustrative. I'll say it like this. They illustrate something, but they're certainly not representative. There's such a diversity and variety of a human experience. But here are two examples. You know, a woman who is in her 30s finds a lump in her breast and goes to the doctor. Her primary care doctor says, "Oh, it's nothing. You're too young to have cancer. It's probably just fibrous." She comes back a month later saying, "No, there's something there," is finally sent for some sort of testing. There's delay because the system can delay things. Finally, 3 months in, she gets a biopsy and it's some sort of cancer. And she is incredibly angry that it took that long. And she seeks, and then at the same time, she goes, "Well, I want a second opinion." And she goes to another institution and has a second opinion. And then she goes, "Well, I don't trust that person. I want a third opinion." So she goes and gets a third opinion at a third institution. And then the question is, who do you believe?
Yeah.
You've gotten three opinions. They're slightly different. They're not terribly different, but they're slightly different. Who do you believe? Well, if you're the question at that point, as someone might suggest, you know, you have a lot of anxiety, maybe it would be helpful to talk with a therapist about this so you could help sort yourself out. And that person might wind up in treatment in a psychosocial oncology setting. And then the question for us in the clinical space is not which one do you believe, because that's her choice. The question is now, let's talk about how do you trust the system that you feel betrayed you and yet you need to live? or at the very least disappointed you, if not betrayed. That may be too strong a word. So then it becomes a conversation around giving over control, surrendering, especially for people who are at the prime of life, especially for people who have a tendency to be in control of life because they've mastered things as adults, all of a sudden find themselves completely lost. So that's an example. And at that point, eventually what a patient has to do is, as they used to say, hitch their horse to a particular wagon or hitch their wagon to a particular horse. And you go, this is my doctor, I'm going to go with her. But it takes a little bit of work to get there.
Yeah.
So that's one example. Another example is a surgeon might see a patient because they have pancreatic cancer. This is slightly different, but based on a very real case, both of these were. And the surgeon says, well, you look kind of depressed. I'm not really sure what's happening here. You should go talk to a psychiatrist before we operate. Big surgery planned, big for an abdominal tumor. And the patient comes in and sees me and says, he's smiling ear to ear, happy, kind of excited, looking forward to getting better with the surgery. Not depressed in the least, but is drinking a fifth of vodka a day. And hadn't told the surgeon or wasn't asked in a way they would tell the surgeon, and was very proud of the fact that he had reduced his drinking to 2 bottles of wine a day, which is a significant decrease, and was planning on stopping altogether the day of surgery, which is incredibly dangerous medically. So in that setting, the advice is don't stop drinking. We'll take care of you. I'm glad we know. And then it's very much a, how do we deal with substance use disorders in the midst of serious and potentially lethal medical illness like cancer? And so there's the complexity of addiction, withdrawal, the psychology that has someone engage in that behavior for a long time, and then on top of it, layer in all that's required of someone as they go through cancer treatment. So those are kind of two illustrative examples. I can give you a lot more, but those are examples.
Yeah. So I'm by no means, you know, I've only been working with the behavioral health team for a few years now. When we first connected and we started talking about this concept of psychosocial oncology, it was the first time that I had heard about it and that I started looking into it and learned about it. And I guess my question is, how readily accessible are these services? Because they sound incredibly important. But, you know, does your typical, and I know that, you know, every patient is one patient and not all patients are the same, but does one individual going through cancer often have access to services like this, or is it still fairly unique for, you know, this support structure to exist?
Yeah, I wish it was commonplace. It's actually pretty difficult to get services for of this sort for when you're going through cancer. There are a few institutions, kind of flagship, world-class cancer centers that do this well. But in most places, if you have anything, it is usually very, very insufficient, if there's anything to begin with. And so most people, like you said, aren't even aware that such a subfield even exists. Mm-hmm. So it's one of the reasons I went to Forge was because I saw this absolute need in our society for these services. You know, everyone I talked to, like you said, this sounds incredibly logical. Like, what does everybody have access? And the answer is mostly people don't. And for a variety of reasons, which we can talk about, which have everything to do with why mental health care, behavioral health care is difficult to access to begin with. All the, you can imagine how difficult, even more difficult it is to access behavioral health services for a specialized situation like this. So yeah, it's not that readily available.
And Forge Health not only provides these services, but is expanding what the organization does in terms of oncology programming. Could you walk me through that expansion and maybe some context of who it might benefit?
Of course. So we offer these services, and over the past year, we've really expanded to be able to offer them wherever we are. So that's the first thing to say, because it really is aimed at anybody who's dealing with cancer, whether it's the person who has the diagnosis or their loved ones, which is actually one of the, it's challenging to get care if you have cancer, it's all the more difficult to get care if you're a caregiver. Mm-hmm. Because as you can imagine, the attention appropriately is on the person with the cancer. But the spouse, the adult child, the old friend who's sitting right next to them, and their life is also turned upside down as a result of this. They need more of the psychological and emotional support in a strange, almost paradoxical way than the person with the cancer, who a lot of the times is super focused on getting well. Like, I just want to get through this treatment. Not always. There are plenty of cases where it's not. But at Forge, we offer these services for caregivers as well, which is one of the expansions. And the other is, given our experience and expertise in working with veterans and first responders, making it clear to that community that we work with veterans or first responders who are like police, fire, EMT, and others to provide oncology services to that community as well with their particular needs. Same goes with the LGBTQ+ community. So at Forge, we're able to leverage our subspecialty expertise to support patients in that kind of interdisciplinary way.
We talked about some already, mainly having the right people in place to deliver these services. What are some of the biggest challenges to offering such services? And, you know, what are some things that providers who hear this and, you know, want to contemplate doing something similar, what are some things that they could do to maybe circumvent those challenges? Or at least, still be moving in the right direction.
I mean, you have to educate yourself. That's often, it's a matter of education and training. Shameless plug, if people want to come and work for us, happy to support people in that, getting that training and education. Those are the biggest obstacles are the obstacles that exist for behavioral health in general, which is an insufficient access to trained personnel, and in certain parts of the country, insufficient access to services that take insurance. Because in certain parts of the country, there it is very difficult to find someone who does behavioral health care who takes insurance. So those are the two big ones in my view.
And maybe this is a very basic question that I should probably know the answer to, but psychosocial oncology services, would that often be covered by somebody's insurance or?
Yeah, absolutely. So at Forge, we take most insurances, which is one of the things that I'm incredibly proud of our organization, to be honest. That's what has it be affordable for people. But yes, assuming the provider themselves take insurance, these services are covered by insurance.
So we only have a few more minutes left, and I only have a couple more questions for you, sure. Doctor. But, you know, maybe before I get into my last specific one, just is there anything else to know about this concept of psychosocial oncology broadly?
I love that you added the word broadly in there. There's a lot to know specifically. But broadly, I think...
Tell me everything I need to know in 30 seconds.
In 30 seconds or less. Well, I'll tell you. Here's one of the mantras I learned when I was in training as a psychiatrist. Never worry alone. Yeah. And as someone who is going through cancer, as someone who is a caregiver for a cancer patient, it's really important for you to know that you don't have to be alone with the burden of what you're dealing with emotionally and psychologically, that there are people out there who are aware of it, expert in it, and can help you with it.
And then I think just to take a step back, Forge Health is a really innovative, interesting company that behavioral health business has been writing about. We're speaking here in May. There's still a lot of time left in 2024. Could you maybe tease some other plans or goals, whether it's for you yourself or for the company generally, as it pertains to this year?
Sure. this year at Forge is really about maximizing our resources to provide the best possible effective care in our communities, in our footprints. So enhancing access to care for our general and specialty programs, whether it's substance use treatment, intensive outpatient programming, and particularly a focus on people who are dealing with moderate to severe mental illness that require behavioral health, because we pride ourselves on our ability and skill set in caring for the more complex situations like this. So really focusing on having that be uniformly accessible at the highest quality anywhere we are is where we are this year.
And I'll add a quick shameless plug for Behavioral Health Businesses Invest Conference coming up in October. That's going to be October 7th, 8th, and 9th. We actually will have the CEO of Forge Health speaking on a panel focused on the business case for PHP and IOP expansion. Dr. Maital, it's been fantastic learning a little bit more about psychosocial oncology with you. I'm sure we could stay on for another 30 minutes, probably do like an entire lecture series, helping people better understand the topic. But I think this was a good starting point, and hopefully we'll get more people interested.
I hope so, too. And I really appreciate the opportunity to highlight this important field.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Behavioral Health Business Perspectives Podcast. I'm Bob Holly with WTWH Media, Chicago, Illinois.